It all starts with the cast. With a Daiwa reel, you can make longer casts and more of them. That's because Daiwa reels have the highest retrieve speeds in the industry, and whether it's salmon, steelhead, trout, bass, or walleye, they've got a reel for you. Daiwa ballistic spinning reels and Lexa bait casting reels have become the standard for Northwest steelhead guys because they cast further and they hold up to the repeated abuse that only North America's hardest fighting freshwater game fish can deliver. If these guys swear by them, they've got to be the best. If you're looking for a new reel, look no further than Daiwa. Daiwa reels. Feel alive.
This is the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, presented by Daiwa. Feel alive.
Welcome to the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, presented by Daiwa. I can hardly wait to get my braid and get those saltus spooled up.
I'm jealous you already got your braid.
All right, today is the Springer Seminar at Three Rivers Marine, and while you're there, I would seriously consider getting all the herring that you need this season, Robbo. And why would you want to do that? Why would you want to buy all your herring all at once?
Well, then you can control the quality.
There you go.
And you can get it in your own freezer. It's not going to be thawed out, refrozen. We were talking about this during the break. You go to 7-Eleven, you go to the gas station, you go to wherever, you know, maybe some of these non-tackle shop places that don't know how to handle bait, and you got Jimmy stocking the shelves in the back, and he leaves them out in the sun for a couple hours while he's doing the ice cream, and he's doing the ice cream bars and all the other frozen stuff.
Place the donuts.
And it's not that they're trying to do bad by it.
They just don't know.
Because if you thaw this bait, Dwayne, and you refreeze it and thaw it, man, it gets soft.
What are you going to find? You're going to find a tray of herring that's frozen when you're pulling it out of the freezer. We can agree to that. But you're going to find a cloudy eye.
There you go.
Be completely
a little bit of a cloudy eye is okay. And so I wanted to get into that.
Yeah, that's
I wanted to get into that a little bit. When you're looking at your herring, most of them are going to have a little bit of a cloudy eye, and that's okay. When they get a little bit of blood in their eye, don't buy them.
Or in the tray, you get that brown liquid. That is blood.
When they thaw a little bit, all that stuff comes out, and it goes down into the tray, and you'll see it underneath them and around the gills a little bit and in the eyeball. If you see that or some little brown blotches on
there
the skin, that means they're more than a year old.
Right. Well, and because they've been under vacuum when they thaw it,
some of them forces
that blood right out of them.
That's true. Now, if you find, you know, vacuum pack bait can be really, really good, but it will go super soft. And we ran into this too, Robbo, at the Limited Peninsula Salmon Derby when we let some bait thaw with that was vacuum packed.
I forgot to poke holes in it.
Yeah,
when it thaws out, you've got to just take your knife and just pop the bags. You know, if you're fishing a derby or something, you're going to fish the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Go through and pop however many bags you think you're going to need for the weekend. You've got to get those things opened up, get the vacuum off of them, because if they're vacuumed when they thaw, forget it. You're going to have just mush in there.
Right.
And you can't recover a bait like that. It's really hard to recover a bait like that. You're better off going with strips at that point and salting them down. So, what are some of the other things you want to look at on a bait? Clear scales, nice clean scales. You know, none of those brown blotches, no yellow blotches, no freezer burn.
And you watch for ice crystals in
that
the bag.
That ice crystal
too.
Buildup. Yeah. Yeah, you got a lot of ice on there. It's been frozen thawed, as we said, and that's just stay away from that.
And I tell you what, bait that's been in the freezer over a year, hey, grind it up, throw it in your shrimp gear, or chop it up, put it out for crab bait, maybe fish halibut with it, but don't try to make that stuff fish
for
salmon.
I've done some of that, and if you're desperate, it can work. So here's what I do in Alaska. If I've got a couple of extra cases, and by the way, I went through about 20 cases last year. We figured it out off the air. I think it was 8,800 herring cut up last summer.
So for your charter business, you're going to end up going through 20 cases of bait.
And here's what's crazy.
And a case has 20 trays.
37 trays.
Yeah.
Here's what's crazy. Last summer in Alaska was an off pink year. Yeah. We didn't have many pinks up there. This year they're expecting, I don't know, 60 million pinks or some stupid number up there.
So how many cases did you buy this year?
Well, I got 10 on order. Now we reorder throughout the summer. I get it from Jerry's Bait over there in Chimicum. Great people over there. They make great bait. They all the bait that they do, they starve it out for up to about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a nice, solid, firm, clean bait. So 10 cases, I'll reorder in the summer, and we go through a lot of bait. But what I do to hold my bait over, if I need to hold it over, if I think I'm going to, you know, I got a couple of extra 2-3 cases, I wrap it up as tight as I can. I take the case and I wrap it in saran wrap. Then I wrap it in about 2 or 3 more hefty bags, duct tape it shut, just keep as much air off of that thing as I can. And it's still marginal.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next year,
it's marginal at best.
Right.
If you're desperate, you can make it work. But I tell you what, they don't eat that bait as good as they do the stuff that I'm getting right out of Jerry's right now.
I mean, the gold standard when we were co-ho fishing, last fall,
yeah,
and we were jigging our own bait,
mm-hmm,
okay, and you know, which means you use a sabiki rig and you drop that down. Now, a sabiki rig, it has like 6 hooks on it. If you're out there salmon, mm-hmm, fishing and you run across a school of bait, you can drop this rig down in and get your own fresh bait. Obviously, live bait is the gold standard. That stuff you got at the
Narrows
Marina,
yes,
okay, in the summer, just they're fresh. They were killed that morning, right?
No, they're live. No, they dip them out of a tank.
There we go.
They are
live.
They put them in a bag for you. Yep. You cannot beat that bait. It's impossible to beat that bait.
And so fishing for coho the couple days that we did it, that was absolutely out fishing the frozen stuff right there. Okay. So then from live, the stuff you jig immediately to the stuff you buy that morning.
Same deal.
Okay. You're a step down to frozen bait. All right. So there is a big quality difference. So again, by buying your bait all at once, first part of the season, putting it in the middle rack of your freezer at home, okay, your whatever you got in a garage or whatever, you know, by keeping it in the middle of that freezer at home, you're giving it a stable temperature to last at. If you go count on having herring wherever you go and get it at 7-Eleven or AMPM, whatever, yeah, you're going to have bait, but you have no control over how it was prepared or how frozen it was. And if you get soft bait, it's your fault at that point. And soft bait won't fish like good solid herring.
And if people don't understand what you're talking about, look at where you store your vacuum pack salmon in your freezer. If you got a top shelf, bottom shelf compared to what stores in the middle, you'll find out, you'll see what actually lasts longer, looks better, doesn't get crystals on it.
Right.
The whole deal. That's your point.
Because our
freezer is temperature control. Yeah.
You betcha.
So if you're over at the big Springer seminar today over 3 Rivers Marine, first of all, you're going to get to learn how to rig up a cut plug and how to rig all this stuff up. Also pick up some bait. I know Ken over there, and he knows this stuff, and
he's
he'll have good bait
it.
In the freezer over there, so pick up some of that. We do have a quick question here on the text toy from the 206. Speaking of freezers, mine blew a fuse, and I lost 200 pounds of fish. Do you guys know of a good alarm that you can put on your freezer so you know when that thing's going down? I don't know. I don't know of anything. Nelly, Dwayne, I have never heard of anything.
I used to make my kid stand in the garage and just watch it
just
all day.
Stare at it. I paid somebody to be on watch.
Light goes out, you make sure you call me. No, I don't know of any alarm.
Crappy.
I would say
for that guy.
Start brining and smoking fish. Stat. Okay.
So we just got to that text really quick, but back to the herring deal. What about brine and herring?
Just a little brine. Yeah.
So what I do? I mean, I'm usually cutting up 8 dozen to 10 dozen herring every morning before I leave. Mm-hmm. I'm just a pickling salt guy. I throw a couple handfuls of pickling salt. Everybody's like, well, do you measure it? I'm like, no. I literally take my big monkey paws, my big great ape hands, I stick it in there.
About a cup and a half.
It ends up being about a cup and a half. Yeah. And I just toss it over the top of it, and I take some fresh seawater out of the harbor there. If you're in a marina with oil and garbage and floating all over, just get outside of the breakwater, scoop up a little water.
Fresh water.
And I've got my little cooler. You know, I probably put 2 gallons of water in there, so I fill it about half full.
Yeah.
Throw a cup and a half of pickling salt in there, and it's usually pretty good. If you use rock salt, it takes a long time to dissolve,
mm-hmm,
and you won't get that salt into solution as quickly as if you use pickling salt.
In a couple hours of that brine, those herring sitting in there while you head on out to start your morning fish, a couple hours, and then them things are good to go.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. They're great, and you got to switch it out a little bit, too. I mean, middle of the day, you'll start burning them a little bit, so I'll toss it out, maybe redo it a little bit. You know, the Potskis, that fire brine stuff works pretty good, too.
If you want to add color, you know, and make it a decent brine.
If you don't
want to
get into all the brine stuff, Tom Pollock's cure works really
good. That's a good one. Now, some guys use sugar, Robbo, and you weigh in on that with me a few times. You know,
I've never heard of anyone using sugar to brine herring.
There's a lot of guys that put a salt sugar combination, brown sugar, refined sugar.
Yeah, and I want to say Pro Cures herring brine or brine and bite formula.
Mm-hmm.
In talking to Steve Leonard last week at the Outdoor Importance.
That does have sugar in it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does have a little bit of sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I
think that's a river guy thing.
Well, it could be, but see,
river guys are weird.
It's
weird stuff. With
all you're doing, is trying to draw moisture out of that fish.
Yeah.
And so sugar does that the same way as salt. It's all basically the same from an osmotic standpoint.
Osmotic.
Okay. I was going to say that, but he beat me to it.
Okay. So if you're picking up herring, when you go to get herring, get your best cooler, put it in the back of your rig. Not only your best cooler, but get some ice in there too, as well, and start pulling the temperature down in that cooler. Buy your herring, put it in that cooler, close it up. Do not open it again until you're standing next to your freezer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Get that bait in your freezer. Control the temperatures. Don't just throw it in a grocery bag and drive around with it and stuff. Keep
your
stuff
herring
frozen.
Cool too. Once you get them cut up, get them in your cooler. You know, gosh, these guys that are fishing buoy 10, I mean, it'll be, what, 80, 90 degrees down there?
Wasn't that nice last year?
Oh, my gosh.
Even the water. The river water in the Columbia, 70, 74 degrees.
You'd be amazed, Rob. I did, you know, doing my seminars and stuff, talking to people about curing bait and how to handle your bait and make so it's going to last all day. So many people take their cured herring out and they just set it on their gunnel tray. They set it on their doghouse, their motor. I mean, they just leave it laying around. And I remind them, the warmest your herring should ever get to is when you introduce it into the water.
Yeah, water temp.
You know, and that's it. And that's the warmest your bait's ever going to get. And when we're in the cooler side of things and you're fishing colder Puget Sounds and things, and as the Columbia warms up through season, by the time we're fishing buoy 10, it's pretty doggone warm. But, you know, your bait's not going to last as long in that 60-degree water as it does at 51. But, again, the warmest it should ever be is when you introduce it in the water.
Keep in mind that successful fishing is the summation of a bunch of little tiny technique points.
Right.
You think we're kind of going overboard with regard to bait care, but it makes all the difference in the world.
Here's a great text from our friend Brad Watts over at Valley Nursery over in Paulsbow. A freezer alarm is available online at Research Mannequins, a taxidermy supply company. Brad actually has one. So whoever that was from the 206, there you go, from Brad Watts over at Valley Nursery River in Paulsbow. They do have a freezer alarm. So
I'll be darned.
There you go.
That's really cool.
Yep.
All right. That was your Three Rivers Marine Tech Line presented by Daiwa.